Our first reading, as always, comes from the Hebrew Bible, the Old Testament, from Proverbs, chapter 31, the very last chapter of Proverbs, verses 10 through 31. You can find this on page 579. You know, I think the lectionary committee takes a big chance in holding this up, because this, it is subtitled, it may be, well, it is in your pew Bible, subtitled Ode to a Capable Wife. And you got to realize that times were very different so many years ago. It was assumed that this was a male-dominated society, and therefore a wife was almost a piece of property. So forgive that, but look past it. Look to how we are all faithful to God by how we live our lives. A capable wife who can find? She is far more precious than jewels. The heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not harm all the days of her life. She seeks wool and flax and works with willing hands. She is like the ships of the merchant. She brings her food from far away. She rises while it is still night and provides food for her household and tasks for her servant girls. She considers a field and buys it. With the fruit of her hand, she plants a vineyard. She girds herself with strength and makes her arms strong. She perceives that her merchandise is profitable. Her lamp does not go out at night. She puts her hands to the distaff, and her hands hold the spindle. She opens her hand to the poor and reaches out her hands to the needy. She is not afraid for her household when it snows, for all her household are clothed in crimson. She makes herself coverings. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Her husband is known in the city gates, taking his seat among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them. She supplies the merchants with sashes. Strength and dignity are her clothing, and she laughs at the time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and the teachings of kindness is on her tongue. She looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her happy, her husband too, and he praises her. Many women have done excellently, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceitful, and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her a share in the fruit of her hands, and let her works praise her in the city gates. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Our reading in James, the epistle, continues this week. James 3, verses 12 to chapter 4, 3, 7, 8a. And you can find the reading as it starts in your pew Bible on page 216. Who is wise and understanding among you? Show by your good life that your works are done with gentleness born of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not be boastful and false to the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, devilish. For where there is envy and selfish ambition, there will also be disorder and wickedness of every kind. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without a trace of partiality or hypocrisy. And a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace for those who make peace. Those conflicts and disputes among you, where do they come from? Do they not come from your cravings that are at war within you? You want something and do not have it, so you commit murder. And you covet something and cannot obtain it, so you engage in disputes and conflicts. You do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly, in order to spend what you get on your pleasures. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and God will draw near to you. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. The gospel lesson of Jesus Christ according to Mark. We continue in Mark through all the wonderful stories about our Lord across the Holy Land. Mark chapter 9, verses 30 through 37. You can find this on page 42 of the New Testament in your pew Bible. Jesus and his disciples went on from there and passed through Galilee. Jesus did not want anyone to know it, for he was teaching his disciples, saying to them, "The Son of Man is to be betrayed into human hands, and they will kill him. And 3 days after being killed, he will rise again." But they did not understand what he was saying and were afraid to ask him. But they came to Capernaum, and when he was in the house, he asked them, "What were you arguing about on the way?" But they were silent, for on the way they had argued with one another who was the greatest. He sat down, called the 12, and said to them, "Whoever wants to be first must be last of all and servant of all." Then he took a little child and put it among them, and taking it in his arms, he said to them, "Whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me. And whoever welcomes me welcomes not me, but the one who sent me." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You know, when you consider it, the Bible is truly an amazing living book. And it turns out to be an ancient bestseller as well. By any rough estimation, the Bible is something like 2,000 years old. And you sort of have to come to that date in a crazy, roundabout way. When you think about the Old Testament, it turns out that an awful lot of that book was written several hundred years before Jesus Christ. And when you think about the New Testament, that actually was written in that century right after the death and resurrection of Christ. But then it wasn't until several hundred years later that the canon, the actual Old Testament, New Testament, was put together in the form that we have it. So, roughly speaking, the Bible is 2,000 years old. John Wesley always said that he was a man of one book, the Holy Bible. It wasn't really true, but his point was it was that central to his life. And we, in the postmodern United Methodist Church, still rely on the Bible as the basis, the foundation of all of our theology. But the point of all that is, how do we in the 21st century find relevance in a book that is 2,000 years old? Well, I would suggest that the readings from today prove the relevance not only to those 12 original disciples, but also to all of us, disciples of the 21st century. And I want to call your attention to the two different passages that occur in the Gospel according to Mark, because I think there, Jesus lays out two lessons for his followers as well as his followers today. And those two lessons are these. First, he tells us that we ought not hesitate in bringing to God's attention those things that frighten us, those things that confuse us. And second of all, he is telling us that we need to welcome all kinds of people into our church and into our lives. Now, let's take that first lesson. If you think about what Jesus was saying to those apostles, for the second of three times in that Gospel of Mark, Jesus is trying to convince his disciples that, in fact, he will be crucified, that he will die, but that 3 days later he will rise again. And they are so confused by this revelation that they don't even ask him what that means because they are too afraid to ask. Now think about the disciples. Have they ever hesitated to ask what was going on? No. But they're too afraid to take up this question with their Lord. In your heart and in your mind, are there those things in your life that you are either too afraid or too confused about that you don't even bring them up to God in prayer? Are there those things about yourselves that are frustrating, perhaps are embarrassing? Are there things about you? Some of us are addicted to alcohol, to sex, to work, to food. Are you afraid to bring these up to God? Are there things that your spouse or your doctor has been telling you about eating right and exercising that you'd really rather not think about? Are you concerned about your mother, your father, your brothers, your sisters, a friend, someone close to you? Are you confused about the frenetic pace of change in our world? Are you just up to here with the conversations about the bad economy? Are you afraid of where you're going? Are you afraid of dying? Well, you are not alone, my brothers and sisters. In that second part of the message from the gospel, Jesus is appalled to hear what the disciples were discussing as they made their way to the city. They were trying to figure out who among them was the greatest. And their response, Jesus' response to the 12 was to say, you know, if you really want to follow me, if you want to be first, you will be last of all and servant of all. And then he has that classic interchange with a little kid. If you look at the front of your bulletin, you'll see a graphic of that. This is an interesting story. I found this graphic this week, and then not 2 days later, Janet sent it to me on an email. So I guess the Holy Spirit was working. Isn't this what you learned about in Sunday school? That Jesus tells us to be with children, to be sensitive to kids. Well, I think that's part of the story, but I think Jesus was saying so much more. As I mentioned before, we read the part from Proverbs. This was a clearly male-dominated society. And so women really didn't have very many rights at all. But you know something? Children on the social ladder, children were way below women. If you can imagine that. In Jesus' time, children had no voice, no power, no rights of any kind. And so in part, what Jesus is telling us is that if we really will follow him, we need to accept into our lives, into our church, those people in the 21st century who have no voice, no power, no rights. So I want you to think about your life in this world. Who are those people in your life who seem to be at the bottom rung of society's ladder? Who are so below you, beneath you, that you'd really rather hold them at arm's length? If you are white, how do you feel about persons of color? If you're a person of color, how do you feel about white folks? If you are a member of the dominant culture, how do you feel about those from other cultures? People from Asia or Africa, people from the South Pacific. How do you feel about people who are homosexual, gays or lesbians? What do you think about when you think about folks who are bisexual or transgender? How do you respond when you think about those who are poor, those who are sick, those who are in prison, those who are smelly and dirty and homeless? How do you feel about those people who in Jesus' time were called the last, the least, the lost?
Because Jesus says that if you are to follow him, you need to welcome all people into our church and into your life. Does that make you uncomfortable? Well, you are not alone, my brothers and sisters. That passage from James actually offers us a solution. If these things provide concern or discomfort, if you're squirming in your seat right now, James says, resist the devil and the devil will flee from you. He says, draw near to God and God will draw near to you. An illustration hit me this week. Have you ever heard about drafting on a bicycle? I looked to Mark Doctor. Yeah, I knew he would. It's an amazing example of physics in action. And if you've ever done it, you know exactly what I'm talking about. If you're riding along at speed on a bicycle and you come up behind another rider who's riding along at speed, you will actually be pulled along by that first rider. It turns out the physics of it is such that as the first rider goes through the air, some turbulence is created in the air. There's vortices of wind, and they create an area of low pressure. And so if you ride your bicycle into that area of low pressure, you'll actually be pulled along. And it turns out that when you're drafting behind another cyclist, you actually have about a 23% less energy expenditure. So when Mark drafts behind Ellen, he's making her do all the work, and he's saving a quarter of his energy. Amen. And I think that's a great illustration of what it means to draw near to God. If we will but approach God, God will pull us along in this life. And so, if you think about those two lessons Jesus had for the 12 and for all of us, we ought not to hesitate at all to bring those things to prayer, those things which are embarrassing or painful or just plain hard to deal with. And Jesus also tells us that we are to welcome all kinds of people into our lives and into our church. And if that is difficult for you, I promise you that when we submit ourselves to Christ and draw near to God, life is so much easier. Draw near to God, and God will draw near to you. Amen.